It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It is a very exciting day. Every day that we have to live, that we can live for Christ, to live for the Lord Jesus, is a wonderful day. I would love for you to take your Bibles now and turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. And while you're doing that, I will share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, and it's at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. So I need you to come and see us sometime. I'd love to hear from you, and I do hear from you folks, and I love hearing from you. The notes that you send me, or you meet me on the street, I love hearing from you that you're listening to the Word of God. The most important is that you're not only hearing, but you're also responding to that, and you're coming to the Lord Jesus. You're coming to Jesus, and you're being saved. And you can be saved by confessing your sin. Now, confess, to repent, is to turn. You need to turn from your way to the way of God, to the will of God. And you can do that by meeting Jesus. I'd like to introduce Jesus to you today. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He sacrificed His life, and He died that you can live. And He had total and complete victory. Every sin that was placed upon Him was placed upon His shoulders. And I ask today that you listen very carefully to this program. I ask that you listen so that you know that your sins were taken to the cross of Calvary when Jesus took them all. But not until you receive that, accept that free gift of salvation. Understand that Jesus, yes, died for your sin and rose again and is alive today. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Turn to Jesus today and truly be saved. Please come to Jesus. And I hope that that this program is doing this. I hope that this program is also growing you in the Word of God. And again, the beginning of it is come to know and come to grow. And we do that through studying the precious Word. Now that you have Philippians chapter 2 verse 12, I'd like to read these verses for you. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in that day, in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. After the precious reading of the Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Father, I thank You today that we can enjoy Your power and Your presence. I ask that You will convict every heart, that again every listener will hear the gospel so clearly, that they'll know that You're the Savior, the only Savior, Messiah. Please, please, Lord Jesus, that You'll touch every heart, that through this Word and the study today, that You can touch the heart of every listener. They will accept You as their Savior, Lord, and they'll begin to serve You. And Father, I ask that they'll recognize not only the service to You is by studying Your precious Word and surrendering to Your will. And by doing that, Father, we know that they will be in Your house. They'll be in the house of God to study Your Word. I ask, Father, that You will lead them to a Bible preach and teach and soul-winning church, a place that they don't just sit and socialize, but they sit and get their heart right. You know, it's so easy, Father, for us to be comfortable. And when we get upset a little bit and our feelings hurt a little bit and a little disturbed on things, instead of saying, God, please, that You'd help me come through this and grow through this, that I can be the child of God and the servant of You in Your local church that I should be. Now please, Father, that You'll touch every heart that's listening. First of all, for those that need to be saved, and then second, for those that need to serve. I ask that You'll just grow us. Please, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful day we have to study Your precious Word each and every day. And we do enjoy so much looking through the Word of God. We enjoy studying the Word of God. And we have, here we spend a lot of time in fellowship together in studying the precious Word. And, you know, we don't do it that people can just come and go as they please at different times of the day or different days of the week. We come together every time, and we come together every time that every one of us can be here. Now, I wish I could say that everyone that's a part of this local church is here every time we open the doors to come together and study, but they're not. And it's just so important that you do that. It's so important that you claim this as your local church. You know that it's necessary to fellowship with other believers. And, you know, we have, and I'd like to share very quickly with you, we have a Sunday school class at 9:30, church at 10:35, Bible study on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. We have Bible study in the La Harpe area at 7 o'clock on Monday night. Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock is a ladies' Bible study here at the church. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock is a Bible study. Back here at the church, you know, we're studying all the way from on Wednesday night is Deuteronomy, on Tuesday afternoon is Revelation, on Monday night is Acts, on Sunday night is Isaiah, Sunday morning I've been preaching out of Ephesians, and we have on the radio program we've been in Philippians. And so you can see the different areas of the scripture that we study, and we do it for one purpose, and that is so we can be more Christ-like. And so you need to understand, if you are not coming to the local church to study the Word of God, that you have decided that you are more pleased with you the way you are, instead of surrendering, instead of repenting. My friend, please, look unto the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and get to work in the local church. Now you'll notice I didn't name this church. We are a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church. We preach the Word of God. We stay upon the truth. But I don't know where you're listening from, and I believe in the local church. So you need to find a church that preaches the Word of God and stand upon it. So please, I pray for you that you do that, that you find that local church. Look at verse 12 here in Philippians. Always obeyed. Always obeyed. Paul didn't care whether he was there or not. He wanted them to listen. And he wanted to follow after the Word of God. You know, we had I've shared with you that on Wednesday night we're in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, a lot of you folks many of you folks probably have never studied the Old Testament. Maybe you've just kind of stayed with the New. Well, the Old Testament is a very sweet book. And we have studied from the beginning Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and now we're in Deuteronomy. Now, in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, we have some things that we stumbled onto. We didn't stumble onto them, we studied them. We study the Word of God. We love studying the Word of God, the truth, to know what's in it. And all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book of the Old Testament, it is one of the five books of Moses, you might have heard it said. But look in the first verse of chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the ordinances which I teach you to do them. That ye may live. That ye may live. Now we have the same down down in the second verse we have, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish anything from it. Ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. All the way back in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, number one, it tells us how to truly live. And the only way we can live is we search the Word of God and stay in it. Stay in it. Search it diligently. Study it. Apply it to our lives. Is the only way. You wonder why you're miserable? You wonder why you got so many questions? You have deserted the local church. You have deserted the power and the presence of God because you're doing it on your own. You have forsaken the Scripture. You say, no, I study my Bible. Then you'll have stumbled on to a verse, and I mean this now, stumbled on to a verse that says, do not forsake the assembling. God knows that we must have the local church and be together. It says, which I teach you to do them that ye may live. The statutes and the ordinances. Don't add to them nor take away from them. It's important that you understand these simple scriptures. As we get back to Philippians here in just a minute, I wanted to take just a few minutes as we found these, enjoyed studying these. Just this past Wednesday night, if you were not in the house of God on Wednesday night, you know, you missed this, didn't you? Well, we had a great time with it. And here, I don't know what you would have studied at your church on Wednesday night, but I'm sure that you missed a blessing there too. Verse 4, but ye who did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive. Now here it's talking about a physical life. But we can come to Philippians, and it's talking about a spiritual life. Freedom in Jesus Christ. The freedom to know and to walk and to talk and to enjoy the power and the presence of the Lord. Always obeying, back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Always obeying, whether I'm here or not, always obeying. We come on down through verse 13, and it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, last time we talked about some problems, possible problems, and that's a little word called will. W-I-L-L, your will. You know, when we place our will in opposition to the will of God, there's going to be trouble. You're going to immediately lose the peace and the joy that God has handed you. You're immediately, if you are disobedient to the commands of God. You know, today we have so many things going on with hearing of people that today are prophesying and they're seeing visions and these things. And I'm very concerned that the church, the believers in Jesus Christ, are being taken in by this. And I ask you that you look back to the Word of God. And this precious Word tells you to go to the ordinances of God and study them. And you will find, if you do not take the Word out of context and apply it wherever you want to, and people do that often, if you'll notice, we do not study one verse of Scripture and then I explain to you whatever I think it is. We go through verse after verse. We've been from the 12th to the 16th verse. I should have looked it up and did not, to see how many weeks that we've been in that section of Scripture. Because there are so many things there as we look at cross-references back and forth so we can place this in the proper place in the Scripture and we will understand what it means to us. And it means life to you. It's back in Deuteronomy where it says, you do this and you'll live. Well, I'm telling you the same thing. If you do the will of God, study His book, study His Word, and be faithful unto His church, you will live. Some of you folks have touched life just a little bit, but then you left it and went back to the old life. I want you to be born again. As Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you can tell me, well, Larry, I am a child of God. I've trusted in Jesus. I am saved. Have you possessed? Have you accepted that real life? And there's a responsibility with accepting that life. And that responsibility is that you not only, yes, are born again, but now you've prepared your life and you have done the work in your life by studying the Word of God and doing what you're told to do according to the Word of God. I've watched life after life change and walk so closely. Their life changes, their personality changes, their way changes. It's because God is doing a work in their life. I've watched people on the opposite side that, yes, were saved, but they continue to go back to their own way. Oh, maybe they don't go back to the bar. Maybe they do. But they go back to their own way, their old way of trying to work out whatever they're trying to do instead of sharing the problems or sharing the heartaches or sharing the burden that they have with the Lord Jesus through prayer and let Him work out those problems, whether it's with a job or with a family, whatever it is. But we choose not to do that. Now, God who worketh in you both to will and to do. Oh, that's what He wants. I ask that you surrender, as the promise is back in Deuteronomy. Do all things without murmuring and without disputing. You know, when we sit down to work, if you are hired today at a factory or at a retail store, as a truck driver, or you're a farmer, or whatever occupation that you have chosen. I hope that you are doing the best job you can do. Because you see, if you confess to be a child of God, if you confess to be saved, then God expects us to do the very best work we can do. To sit down and do it as in the most correct manner, and do it as well as we possibly can. He does not ask us to do something necessarily better than someone else, because maybe we do not have those abilities. But we do, and we are expected to do the very best we can do, the very best I can do at what talents and gifts God has given me. Now, we are working our job in that manner, and I hope that you are. I hope you're not cheating your employer if you're working for someone. I hope that you're doing the best job you can do. Now, let's bring this over to the work of the Lord. Because the work of the Lord today is much neglected. People that work very hard at their job see no need to any more than maybe just come to church. They come and they sit in the pew. There is a lot of work that needs to be done. There is spiritual warfare going on all the time. And so when that war is going on, us against Satan, well, if you're fighting the battle correctly, it is not you against Satan, because by the Lord Jesus, through the Lord Jesus, by the means of the Holy Spirit, we have an armor that He has given us that will protect us. And so it's not a battle that we are fighting at all. It's a battle that is fought between the Lord Jesus, between God and between Satan. But we become so involved in it that we forget that we have a person in Jesus Christ and a person in the Holy Spirit that gives us all means of standing up against that enemy and continuing the work that we've set out to do. We need to do that work, whether it's spiritual or physical. We have a work that needs to be done. And the house of God is neglected. We can go back into the Old Testament and we can find a king named Josiah. And he looked upon the house of God, and it broke his heart because it had been so neglected. And he started to do a work in repairing the house of God. In repairing the house of God, he found something. He found the original scripture, the original manuscript that was written and had been hidden down. You know, at that time, not everybody had a Bible. And it was hidden down in one of the little vaults or caves in the temple. And they brought that out, and then is when repentance, because they recognized how far away, even though he realized the condition of the temple and started a work to repair it, he did not realize how far away from the Word of God. Now, I believe as folks come into the house of God, I believe as folks listen to the Word of God, that same will happen to them if we stay in the truth, if we're obedient to the Word of God. Your life will change. Well, we need to mind our work. We need to see that we are working towards being Christ-like. We need to recognize that we need to look unto the Word of God for all the direction. We need to understand that He has a work for us to do physically and spiritually here at the church, the local church. And we need to be busy about doing that work and not neglecting it. We are serving a great master. There is no master more fair and more giving than Jesus. I love serving Him as a master. I love the blessings He gives me. I love the joy He gives me. I love the peace He gives me. But all those things come from service. Salvation was free. The day I met Jesus Christ, I had nothing to offer Him for my life. I was dying in my sin, and there's only one thing that could help that, and that was Jesus. There was only one person that could give me life, and that was Jesus. And I praise God for the folks that brought me to Jesus. Because the day that I was introduced to Jesus is the day that I went from dying in my sin to living in Jesus. And that's something that took place over 20 years ago. And I have enjoyed the work, I have enjoyed the service, because that free gift that He gave me, Jesus gave me His life for mine. God the Father sent His only Son down, Jesus, that He could buy us, purchase us. A perfect sacrifice. And Jesus died on the cross. And then He went into that grave. But that grave didn't keep Him. So you see, not only do I have my sins taken away, but I also have life, everlasting life in Jesus Christ, because Jesus died and rose again. Now please, that you trust in Jesus. Please realize that we have a work to do. We need to do it without murmuring and without disputing. We need to set our mind upon Jesus Christ to serve Him. We get our eyes across on somebody else all the time. Some person here in the church, or some person outside the church, or somewhere along the line. Maybe it's just that we get our eyes so much onto the world that we just can't get focused upon serving Jesus. Well, you're never going to until you repent of your sin. You need to repent of your sin. If you'll repent of your sin, then will you see. And I'm talking to you, believer. I'm not talking to a non-believer. A person that's never come to Jesus Christ, you have no opportunities except one, and that's come by faith to Jesus and be saved. Now, if you've trusted in Jesus, you're saved, you've had that free gift, now it's time to live for Jesus. Mind your work. There's a work to be done. We have a great master to serve. Serve that great master, Jesus. He has given us everything. I ask that you will look unto Him and stop running away and looking the other way. You know, as we have here, do all things without murmuring and without disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in a midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Do you notice that? Holding forth the word of life. There's a work to do. There's a master to serve, and He is a good master. There's a work to do. That work will begin in you. That work begins in me. And there's some things that we need to understand. And here we have several things. So that our light will shine, as the end of verse 15 says, ye shine as lights in the world. Well, we're going to have to turn the light on, aren't we? Because I'll tell you what, it's awful dark around here. It's to the point that you don't feel safe to go out at night. It's so dark. Well, if we were shining as the light of Jesus, because we are busy about the work of Christ, because we are busy about serving a great master, it would not be dark. It would not be cloudy and overcast. It would be bright and shiny as the light of the Lord Jesus is. It's wonderful to serve Him. It's wonderful to walk after Him. But you know, very quickly, in the work of the church, there becomes murmuring and disputing. With murmuring and disputing, the lights get turned down. You can take a dimmer in your house and you can turn those lights down to where it's just a little flicker. Well, murmuring and disputing will bring that. Paul tells us the purpose of keeping your light bright, a necessity that will eliminate. You cannot murmur and dispute. Don't cause trouble. And Paul tells us here that to be harmless, to be blameless. All those come together. And it all involves the local church and your relationship with the other believers. You should love one another. You should care for one another. You should be working in service with one another. That's the local church. Are you here at the church murmuring and disputing? Or are you hiding at home and not even coming? Either way, it's sin. Either way, it needs repentance in your heart. Now, the Word of God here, we're building a church. No, we are not under construction. We have no building program, although we do have some things going on around the church that we're repairing right now, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about bringing people to Jesus, telling them that they're lost and they need to be saved, telling them that they, after they've come to Jesus, now you need to serve. You need to go to that Word of God and stay upon the truth and do not bend from it. As Deuteronomy told us in chapter 4, don't stay away from it. Study it, search it, and learn the statutes and the ordinances of God. Stand upon the Word of God. We have here to be harmless, to be blameless. If you'll care for one another, care with an agape love, a God-given love. Now that's one thing that's missing today. That is missing, and I know that it's missing, because of the lack of care for each other. For the murmuring and the disputing, or the neglect of coming into the house of God. You cannot stay away. If you've got a family member, and that family member is sick, and that family member needs care, that family member needs to feel your love and see your love, that family member needs to watch you make the little bowl of chicken noodle soup and bring it to you. That family member needs to see because they don't feel good. That family member needs to be cared for. Well, my friend, there are family members, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, that are in the local church, that are sick, that need your care. But instead of that, you see no need to come any more than once a week, or come not at all. You're selfish. You're self-centered. Because you are not willing to give the talent that God has given you to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to lift up this sick brother or sister. It may be a physical sickness, it may be a spiritual sickness. But either way, there's great need in the church today. God has given us the local church so we can care for each other and lift each other up. When we murmur and dispute, we can no longer even suggest that we are blameless or harmless. When we ignore the house of God and the brothers and sisters in Christ, we neglect them. We still see no need to help them. We see no need to be in service unto them. We just come, get a little feeding, and we're off again. Will you realize how little that you're helping? Will you realize how little that you're in service? You say, Larry, I study the Word of God. The light is getting dimmer, dimmer, and will become dark if we do not realize the need to serve, the need to care for each other. Stop the murmuring and disputing. Be in the house of God to work. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?